Welcome to the AT Pit Crew Podcast. This high-energy show dives deep into the world of sports emergency care. Join us as we explore cutting-edge strategies, real-world experiences, and expert insights to help you step up your game in emergency care. We've got the tools, tips, and stories you need to be ready when seconds matter. It's time for the AT Pit Crew Podcast. We have the green light in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, I'm Ray Castle, and welcome to the AT Pit Crew Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here today, and we thought we're going to change this up some and have a new series that we're going to start with, and it's really, let's say, in the advice line. And while we really enjoy giving out the having guests on, and we're going to do this with guests as well, but we thought we went to a recent athlete training conference in Atlanta. And asked the attendees, hey, give us your questions, your concerns, things you love about sports emergency care. So we're going to tackle, it's going to be a short form, we're going to tackle a couple of those questions. We're going to come back and save those, have some guests on board here as well on the podcast. We'll go ahead and get started. Similar to what we do in the regular podcast or the show, we're going to take about 4 laps, kind of a test track, kind of see how thing it does, not a regular race we did with the podcast. And then we will hopefully, we'll dive into those a little bit, and then we'll come back and do some other ones. So let's go ahead and get started with lap 1. One of the questions, we see this a lot, and this is actually from Megan, who is an athletic training student in Lee University. Her question is, my question is, what would you do if you were unable to get your hands on a rectal thermometer since they're discontinued as of now? Well, that's it's a great question, and more so how to fix that or resolve that. One is, while we think of that as having the colorectal thermometer has a flexible thermistor, kind of like you look almost like, looks like an iPhone cord or cable phone, very thin like that. We use that. It's not the only way to take a rectal thermometer reading. Now, granted, there are other types as well. So the main thing is that you have something to measure and you can do a colorectal thermometer. The problem gets into is that cord allows for you to do a cold water immersion if they are in in a need for having cold water immersion, or if you're just trying to move them without risk of having to keep that in the patient at all times during the cold water immersion. You can look at different ones. You want to have one that has, it may be a solid tip, but it has a long enough flexible line that, you know, think about 72 inches. If you have something like that, that's been a problem for about a year now, and it's going to continue to be a problem for the foreseeable future. You have to have, you know, ideally we may have had a plan A is, I'm not going into brands because I don't want to promote one brand versus another, just to keep this objective. But there are brands that have, you can have a device, you have a cord, it has a solid thermometer tip, and you can use that as well as an option. The other side of this is not the most reliable by any stretch of imagination. You want to have that plan B regardless. Like what we have in our colorectal thermometer kits, we actually have a digital disposable thermometer, and it's not nearly as accurate because you don't have the depth for at least 12 centimeters was recommended, but it does provide some form of measurement as a colorectal thermometer reading. It's the only reliable measurement, and you look at all the data, you have like a 70-degree difference if you were taking by mouth or otherwise. Just have to work through that in your protocols and your practice guidelines. Practice those situations, and even think about, you know, if you do have a colorectal thermometer, what happens if it doesn't work, if it breaks? Now, what do you have? You need to have a backup plan. So that's just something I'm thinking, think about when you are looking at colorectal thermometry. So that's a great question, Megan. Thank you so much. So another one is, I've got Winston from University of Central Florida. He's a Master of Athletic Training student. So hello, Winston. So I'd like to know, his question is, I'd like to know how you can increase your confidence when dealing with emergency situations. Well, you know, I think that depending on the situation, if you have regardless of you're an experienced athlete trainer or just out of school, you're going to come across those situations that you may not be as comfortable with because you may not have been exposed to that in real time. So the one thing I would tell you, and I think this is a really easy thing to think about, is you have to know what your protocol is. You have to have the right equipment. You have to have the right training for the personnel that's there. So if you don't have those things, and you have to train accordingly to that. So it's just not as easy as when you look at a situation, a scenario, it's not possible to train for every type of scenario that may happen. But as a good friend of mine, Chris Toronto said, if you know who he is, he's with the medical coordinator for Boston Marathon, you know, the races. You can't plan all types of events or situations, but you can have a determined response. And it goes back to training. So you practice those training because in those intense situations, you are going to revert back or move towards not how you're expecting to perform, but more so about how what your training does. And that's that muscle memory. So, you know, practice those situations. You're going to move into that as well. If you don't practice or have some type of deliberate practice scenario, then you're not going to know what to do, period. So you have to have that deliberate mentality and review your protocols and review the emergency action plan on a regular basis. You know, that's why even going through the medical timeout before a game, it's why it's so critical to have those types of situations where you're actually talking about something before it happens and making sure everyone's on the same page. Again, practice makes permanence of practice right. Starting up in athletic training as well. So again, you may not, once you get more experience, you get more comfortable. But again, you could ask, the situations, emergency situations. You know, I know recently I've been practicing over 34 years, and not too long ago, I was involved in my first cardiac arrest situation. And again, I look back, it moved, you know, it's just like we already trained and you go into that process and everything falls right into place. So again, you have to train for those situations on a regular and planned basis. So that's a great question as well. So the Alondria, who's at University of Southern Mississippi, here's her question. She said, because I'm not practicing emergency care every day, how can I stay on top of remembering all basic necessities? So I think the one thing that, you've got to practice those situations. But again, it goes back to your emergency care preparation. That starts with your medical, your response kit. So if you came out and worked in an event with me, you know, in our company, so Ronnie and I, we have these kits we bring out, and we have the same equipment. It's a backpack that has about 40 different, probably 40 plus things in there, but they have compartments in there. And I may do another show, another episode altogether to show you this as well, what that looks like. But everything is in this. We do a checklist. We make sure everything's are updated. Each kit, we make sure it has the same equipment. Even the small, and things are in packs or easy to pull out. So we make sure they're operational. Make sure they're in the same location. So, for example, that's the one thing to make sure you know you have that equipment, that you have the equipment there and it's functional. There's nothing worse, I think, that would be the worst case scenario. You have a piece of equipment, you know, like an airway or BVM, and it's broken. I mean, and you're trying to use that in the city. And that goes back to what happened? Why was it? When was it punctured? And you may not know that. So unless you do that check, you never know what that's going to be in place as well. But again, it goes back from the previous question is, you know, you have to go back through a regular, you have to take those mental reps. Just think about how you go through every day. There's periodic review. And while you're not going to do a full, like a preseason or pre-year with your entire staff, go through everything once a month, there may be setting up a deliberate training plan, identify those practice gaps and practice on one protocol. And it may be for that month, okay, we're going to go through airways and airway management protocol. And that may take 15, 20 minutes in one monthly staff meeting where you're going in, you do a review, and then you go through and practice the various scenarios. And then you're also think about this is when you're practicing a protocol and you move to that level of performance, you're actually challenging the situation and making sure that is something occurring during that time. So is it going to function during that time and making sure that you have the right equipment for the right personnel, for the right situation, and then the perfect all fits within the protocol? Because you think about training. So if you're not trained in a protocol, have a different piece of equipment, one being universal, you have to know that with how that functions, then you may have an unsuccessful protocol or may not be the desired outcome because it has a shift in the equipment. So just some things to think about with that. So let's decide one shift gear. Got one or two more questions. Think I hit one. Let's see. Here's Jerry, who's at the University of Alabama. Just a question about selecting the correct advanced airways based on the situation, patient size, and equipment. I think we'll talk about this briefly, but question is we're going to do a demo on this because I think this is one that really sits out there as what do you do with an airway. So when you're thinking about having your equipment that's in your airway management equipment, you got to obviously have your BBM. You have to have, CPR mask or extra some CPR mask. You want to think about having a nasal pharyngeal airway set, an oral pharyngeal airway set, and then also you're thinking about having some type of supraglottic airway. Now, that could be either, the King tube, that type has been around. It's been very common in EMS and within other settings. It's in the field because it's been well. But now you have the iGel and you have the LNAs, those type as well. Those are peripharyngeal sealers versus pharyngeal sealer. You think about a Combi tube or a King where you're going down in through the airway. You actually have a bulb that it expands when you have to. The ease of use of that, those are really good because it definitely seals, but also the downside takes more time. It takes a little more skill versus something like an LMA or a iGel is one that just takes a couple of seconds to train and it works really, really well. So it eliminates a lot of the other issues you may see. So really, again, it goes back, you have to have those and we'll go through those from an indication in equipment, but those are some of the basic things if you're having if you're using an OPA versus when to use an OPA and when more formally when you would not use it. And that kind of fits in line as you're going down the progression to get an airway for that. But we're going to come back. I want to just to talk about that for a second. I think Jerry asked a great question. I think we're definitely that warrants having, we're going to not warrants. I want to do that. So we'll do a podcast on the video side. We'll talk to it on obvious audio, but do a video demonstration. Do you really get to see that person? I think that some of the things we're talking about doing with these advice line is how to solve these problems so you can see them. It's just not talking about them, but actually doing this as well. So I'm going to throw it off for, let's see here. Got other question came in from Abigail is, how do you handle, confidence and stay on top? Yeah, we can answer all those. So, for right now. So anyway, that's it. Just want to have a couple questions and answer as we start moving forward on this type of format. And we're going to do the other ones as well. We got some one scheduled out. We took about it. If you're looking, why don't we do one last week? We took a break. We had a conference. We were out in Atlanta. And by the way, it was a fantastic conference, emergency care and sport hosted by University of Georgia in Piedmont and also the NFL. So, we'll have some of those folks I saw out there, have them come on board as well. We got some great topics coming up this year and some other things. So in any case, that's it for our laps on the AT Pit Crew podcast. I hope you have a fantastic week until our next podcast show. And we are out of here.
Thank you for joining us on the AT Pit Crew podcast. We encourage you to like, subscribe, and join our community. For more information about this podcast show, visit www.actionmed.co/podcast. This show is a production of Action Medical Consultants, LLC. medical information provided within this program reflects the opinions of the hosts and guests and is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It should not be considered as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the guidance of your healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment.